And we welcome those of you in our virtual service today. So glad you could be a part. And thank you for coming to put your hearts and minds with us into the Word of God. As we do that, we want to pray together. Oh Lord, you deserve everything we are, everything we have. You are the Anointed One. Jesus, you are our King. Our coming King, reign in our hearts even in these moments. Lord, draw us to your attention. Draw us afresh into the work of your Spirit within us and through us. We just thank you that your word is living and it's active and it touches us. And we thank you in advance for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, we're going to talk about transitioning. These days, that's a bit of a loaded word. Got some political and moral overtones to some folks. But we're going to talk about it in its best sense, which is when we move from one thing to another, from one place to another, from one setting to another. There are good transitions in our life, and we want to allow those to take place. I was thinking about some that I've been through in my journey. One of the most vivid ones was from home to college. My parents dropped me off at the dorm. My dad gave me a little pep talk. They drove away, and I was the loneliest I have ever felt in my life. But God filled it in. There was another good one. It was called Single to Married. It was a transition, but it was a good one. From an entry-level job to a promotion, to a management position maybe. Maybe for some of you it was from working for somebody else to working for yourself. Some major career transition. From being a student to being unemployed. Now I'm flipping it over to being unemployed. That's a new one. From your first apartment to your first home. I mean, we could go on all morning long. But if you think about every one of those and you think through transitions in your life with me as we do this journey, you will discover that there are disruptions, there are discomforts, there are losses. There are things that are embedded in every one of them. And if we get focused only on the things that are left behind, we miss the wonder of the things that lie ahead. There's a principle I've taught for years. I picked it up from somebody else back in the 90s, I think, about how organizations change. And there's this principle called the implementation dip. If you graph it, it looks something like this. You're going along. You decide it's time to make an adjustment that's going to get you up here. But the journey goes like this. In common terms, we say it often gets worse before it gets better. Why does it get worse? Well, because we have to navigate some of those pieces that are uncomfortable and disquieting and disruptive, and recognize that any time we go through a transition, that is likely to be a part of it. So I know some of you told me this morning, you come in, you're happy and you're sad. I'm happy and I'm sad. There's a reality to living through a journey like this that means we get to stir up all kinds of different thoughts, feelings, emotions into this big pot. And the pot is called God's good for us. And we need to remind ourselves of some things about that. So here is my fundamental principle for the next couple of Sundays. That God creates, navigates, and sustains transitions in our life that are for His good plans and purposes. We don't want to get lost on those things and feeling like God is not in the midst of it. Sort of go back and think your way through the transitions in Scripture. We don't have time to do a lot of them, but I thought about what would happen when Adam and Eve messed up, and the first really big transition we find is God booting them out of the garden. You want to talk about a painful transition? So what would have happened if God would have looked down upon that and He said, you know what? Transitions are just a little too hard on people, so we're not going to have any more transitions. Everything's going to stay the same. Where would that have left us? Outside the garden, in the midst of our sin, without a promise of recreation, without a promise of newness, without the assurance that not only through the journey of our life, but in the end, there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And those are all transitions that we will go through that have really good outcomes. One of the most astounding things to me in the Old Testament is that after Moses did all of that work, and God through him did all of that work to get them out of Egypt, they got to Mount Sinai and they said, we want to go back to Egypt. How stupid is that? We finally got out of all of these years of slavery. What was driving them to go back? Leeks and garlic. Underlying that, I think, was we know that. That was comfortable. We at least could plan. Even though they beat us up all day, we knew we had something to eat. God says, all right, you grumbly gripers. You want something to eat? Manna. You get manna every morning, manna every night, manna on the weekends, double down. That's not enough, I'll give you quail. So you can have birdies and crackers. But He took care of them. They get to the end of that journey, not the sole of their shoe had worn out. He had been faithful to them. We like to cling to the comfort and security of what we know. I do. I think it's part of our human nature. The fear of the unknown just crushes God's future opportunities. And part of that is a journey of faith to believe that the opportunities He has for us are a preferable future. Something that is actually good. Some ways that God is going to bring about growth. So stir up your discomforts, your anxieties, your uncertainties, your disappointments. We're going to pack them up and we're going to go take a look at some things the Scripture has to help us, not just in this, but in all of the transitions that come to our lives. I can go around this room and I can think through transitions many of you have been through. And at the time they were horrible, they were awful, the loss of loved ones, people that you really cared about, financial reverses, health disappointments. And then I look at you sitting there now and say, and look what wonderful people you are. Look at what an amazing thing God has done. Didn't leave us where we were. He transitioned us to something else. Now, lest you think it's all going on out there, you get to sit on my couch for a moment. Because, you know, I'm wrestling through a lot of pieces of this puzzle myself. Sort of trying to figure out, okay, God, what, you know, this I really believe is your direction now. What does this mean? Well, it means I don't have an office to go to anymore. It means I don't have the routine of my life that has been a grounding force for me and for our family for all these years. I tease Bonnie, she's one of the luckiest ladies in the world. Her husband gets paid to spend 30 hours a week studying the Bible and hopefully putting it to practice. My life has had a rhythm and a flow for 40-some years. Those of you who worked and have subsequently retired or moved on to different things, I think you get this instantaneously. And, you know, there's times when I look at that calendar and I say, man, can't we have a week without a Sunday? But every Sunday comes. And for some strange reason, some of you show up thinking that you're actually going to have someone up here telling you something that might be of value to you. Which means there was a lot of discipline. There was a lot of determination that went on week after week after week. But that brought a lot of good to life. So I'm figuring out how this is all going to restructure. If I were not convinced that this is a season of God's goodness to Cayucas Community Church, it would be a whole lot easier just to keep riding in the saddle. Because right now that saddle's really comfy. It fits. And we have a cool thing that we share together. But comfortable and safe and secure and non-transforming puts you in a grave. Everything that's living is changing. And when we stop changing spiritually and our lives stop transforming, we decline. We don't thrive. So remember with me that God creates and navigates and sustains transitions for His good plans and purposes. And I'm going to take us to Joshua chapter 1 to rehearse again one of the greatest transitions in all of the Old Testament. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this text. Moses is now moving off the scene and the nation needs a new leader. Every once in a while, God lets me preach to myself and you get to listen in. It's kind of like what happens at a wedding ceremony. I tell the couples, I'm going to give you a little challenge, a little charge. We're going to talk about a specific message for the two of you. But secretly, I hope other people are paying attention and take it to heart. You know, the idea is that it's for one, but it's for all. Well, in part, this is God's message to me, and I hope that as He speaks to me, He speaks to you. Joshua 1, verse 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man will stand before you all the days of your life, for just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Just think, if God didn't transition from Abraham, there would be no Abrahamic covenant blessing. There would be no Messiah. There would be no nation that we know as Israel, God's special people. He repeats, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So if God creates and navigates and sustains transitions for His good plans and purposes, what does that mean for us? Well, the crazy thing in this passage is the first thing it means is we have a grief session. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's pretty terminal, pretty final. We have to go back a page or across the page, depending on how your Bible lays out, to chapter 34. Of Deuteronomy, to realize this isn't quite as harsh as it sort of sounds in the beginning. Because there we read that the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. And then the days of weeping and mourning were ended. So this is it. When we are in the midst of different kinds of transitions, there are times when we are to grieve. It's okay, it's normal, it's to be expected, it's even to be affirmed and encouraged. But just note, you only get 30 days, okay? No. That was the formal grieving process. We don't have anything like that in American culture. We hardly have 2 days, you know. Look at your employee manual when you were an employee, a close family member died. Okay, we'll give you 2 days off and be back to work on Monday. It so denies the reality of what goes on in the human heart. So we can free ourselves to let our hearts be real. I read one time some years back, I think, yeah, I'm not sure who it was I read it from. I think it might have been Rick Warren. Anyway, he has this little string of words. Change is loss, and loss is pain. So you can't change without pain. You can think about that in terms of your own personal transitions in life. You can think about it your own spiritual transition, transformation. To transform into the likeness of Christ, we leave things behind. Some of those are things we used to really love. Some of those are things we clung to. Some of those were things that made us feel safe and comfortable in a certain way until we discover there's a way better thing. So that's all part of the journey. Grief work is good work. A lot of people, it seems, want to deny grief work. It's a bad thing. Oh, you don't cry. What kind of message is that to the heart of a person? Your feelings don't matter. Your sorrows are just to be drowned out with the noise of other things in life. That's not a biblical perspective. Now, whether you visualize your pains and sorrows in tears or in shouting and screaming or whatever, we have different means. It's not that the means is it. It's that the grief work is good because it helps us transform. But the grieving gives way to going. And that's the next thing we discover in this text. He says, arise and cross this Jordan. Now there's a little bit of a backdrop to that, which still comes out of chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. Joshua was not going to be Moses. Listen to how the text says. There has not arisen a prophet since Moses, in Israel, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants in all the land, and to all the might and for all the mighty power and great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. There's not going to be another Moses. there's going to be a Joshua. And Joshua is not going to be effective because he's cut out of the cloth of Moses. He's going to be effective because God has equipped and prepared and appointed him to pick it up and take the next steps. My little early caution. Whatever you do, please do not make Pastor Next be cut out of the cloth of Pastor Present. He needs to be cut out of the cloth that God is preparing for you, and he will be appointed by God through your affirmation, and he will be the person that God has raised up for a new season. And you need to let him be him. In God's economy, none of us are indispensable. There's another crazy phrase in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. It says, Moses was 120 years old, and he was still strong, and his eye was bright. God did not move Moses because Moses was incapable or incompetent. God moved Moses because he had a new thing to do. And Moses was not going to be a part of the new thing. And so he had to make room for Joshua, who, by the way, had been getting prepared with Moses for 40 plus years. Not like he was the newbie on the block. But he was still a different person, being given a different assignment, but with all of the same assurances that God gave to Moses. And this is a theme we could trace through Scripture. It would just take more time than we have. But whenever God has new things that he wants to do, he often raises up new leaders to do them. He brings fresh meat to the table, if you will. And he is at work in doing that. So we have to let him do it. What do? We recognize that there will be in the grief process some sadnesses and some sorrows perhaps, and we embrace those. And then we remember that the past impacts the present, but it does not define the present. So we allow God room to do new things. In the words of the psalmist, to sing new songs, to let God put new things in our heart and in our lives. And eventually that grief gives way to growth. It gives way to go. So we embrace God's new direction. There had been a 40-year wait for the promise of God for the children of Israel to enter the promised land, because God is willing to root out sin. God is willing to get people's hearts right before he takes the next step. So as crazy as that kind of sounds to me anyway, that you'd let a whole generation go through this process, God knew it was essential to the forward moving of his plans and purposes. So he allows that to happen. And in the midst of that, he is preparing the new person, Joshua. And then when the time is right, he says, okay, Moses is gone. You have grieved. Rise up and cross the river. Go forward. Take the next step. And what we know in the text is that as long as they followed God, they had nothing to fear. As long as they did what he led them to do, they were safe. So that brings us to one of the encouragements. Our call in any time of transition is not necessarily to define how the change or transition is going to take place. It's first to devote ourselves to God afresh and to wait upon him to show us the way. And when he does, we will follow. The way of the children of Israel led to calamity. And this is a general principle Man's ways apart from God lead to disasters. But God's ways are filled with grace. So you will notice when we read through that he said, go into the land that I am going to give to you. And everywhere that your foot trods, I am going to give to you. Just as I promised Moses, I'm going to give it to you. So we walk through our transitions looking and waiting for the good graces of God to be poured out upon us. We get in trouble when we won't wait. Those of you that have been around when we studied Isaiah chapter 50, remember? Maybe you remember. You know, when you're taking a walk in the dark, the prophet says, don't light your own torch, or you will lie down in torment. You pick your own path, you leave God out of the process, you got trouble coming. But if you wait for Him, He will light the way, and there will be goodness and grace. Salvation works this way, right? By grace, you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Then our transformation into Christ-likeness, so all the rest of our life after we come to faith in Jesus, is built on the same principle in Colossians 2. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did we receive Him? By grace through faith. Are we going to walk with Him? By grace through faith. It's a journey that continues as long as we are on the planet. I know the elders will mention this in the next meeting about how we are going to do some of this together, but we probably can't say it often enough. We need patience. We need to wait for God's timetable. We need to allow those people that are appointed and that come alongside to help us in the process to do the work that is necessary and to not press for an outcome. Because pressing for the outcome turns into lighting our own torch. You want to press for an outcome? Prepare for a disaster. If you want to see God's good gifts of grace, you wait and let Him work it out in His time. Now the promise for Israel here was real estate. Don't think that's probably a part of our transition here. We have real estate. We're already on it. But we have promises that God has given to us that in like fashion and by application we can say God is going to fulfill to us the promises that He has made to us in His Word. And why are those promises things we can cling to? Because He says, I will be with you. It is the presence of God, not the exact change of circumstance, that we are looking for. So we want God front and center. It's the brackets on this text. Verse 5. God says to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. And at the end in verse 9, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm not quite sure why this is so easy to forget. Think back through your week and ask yourself, was I consciously aware that God was with me in my week? I hope there will be moments when you will say yes, and I suspect that for many of us there will be moments when we say, well, that just kind of slipped my mind. I mean, I know it. It's down under there. But the more actively and consciously we remind ourselves God is with us, the more securely we walk in His ways. Moses, back in the early days, Exodus chapter 33, God said, okay, it's time to hit the promised land. Moses said, Lord, if you do not go with us, we will not go up. Your presence is the critical factor. When Jesus transitioned from heaven to earth, think about that, God transitions. Jesus was leaving earth. He set up his disciples, he prepared them, he told them, it's better that I go than that I stay, because then the Spirit is going to be sent upon you. And you will have the presence of God alive in you. And he gives them the commission that we looked at a few weeks back. And what is the foundation of it? Begins with his authority, and it ends with the assurance, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Are we at the end of the age yet? We are not. Which means Jesus has committed to us that he is with us. The question is only, are we with him? Are we aware that he is with us? So put a banner over your heart, over your life, on your refrigerator, on the front door of your house. Tack it to the rearview mirror in your car. Put it where you see it. God is with me. And let it be a defining theme of your daily life. I have two verses that I don't know. I think it was during COVID. I came across these in reading through the Psalms. And I said, I need these. I need these in front of me. I typed them out. I put them under the glass cover that's on my desk. Psalm 37, 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. That's New Living Translation. And Psalm 138. The Lord will work out his plans for you. Those are truths on which we can hang our hats. The references are on your outline. If you want to go home, put them someplace. They'll help you. So God creates, he navigates, he sustains transitions in our lives because of his good purposes, but they aren't necessarily easy. They include the grief component that we've talked about. It means that we must follow him and wait for him so that we can move forward. And then a third word that he gives here to Joshua is, you're going to need strength and courage. This is another theme that runs through Scripture. We're going to dig into it a little bit more this week. Don't have time to finish this passage this morning. If ever there was a guy, in my impression, who was ready to step up when Moses stepped out, it was Joshua. He had had a long personal tutorial. And yet God's words to him are astounding. They are imperatives, by the way, though this is no longer a sermon on great imperatives. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be terrified. Neither be dismayed. There's the two sides of the coin. The stuff that's going to wipe you out has to be met with the courage and strength that God alone can give you. And he repeats it there three times in four or five verses, as if Joshua had a short memory or he just needed lots of reminders. So the way I look at it is, if Joshua needed a lot of reminders, so do I. So, Lord, let me hear your word. Be strong, be courageous, and know that that's what is going to see you through your times of feeling afraid and dismayed. Now, this is the message that God gave multiple times. David gave this message to Solomon when he was passing on to him the privilege of building the tabernacle. First Chronicles chapter 28, David says to Solomon, be strong and courageous and act and do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. My own suspicion is David had had a time of meditation in Joshua chapter 1. And he was getting ready for a transition of his own, and he was handing the leadership of his kingdom. And he said, you know, the same message that Israel needed back in the day, my son needs today. Be strong and courageous and remember the Lord your God is with you. In Psalm 31, David was under duress. He starts out talking about how God is his refuge, his strength. He talks about some of the foes that are against him. And in the middle of the psalm, he says to God, just his own worship, I trust you, you are my God, and my times are in your hands. And then he ends with this exhortation, verse 23. O love the Lord, all you his godly ones, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who hope in the Lord. Paul would eventually write to Timothy in his second letter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is not create strength in ourselves. This is surrendering ourselves to allow the strength and courage of God to fill us. So left to ourselves, you know, we can get a little rattled, we can get a little panicky. But we have this assurance that God will go with us, and when we walk with Him, we'll get into this part next week, He says, you will prosper and you will have success. The elders have plans to share with you in a few minutes. Plans that they have been prayerfully pursuing. Think plans that will help encourage and secure you in where things are going. Some of the resources that we've been able to tap into. But before they do that, I want to remind you, the hope is not in their plans. The hope is not even just in a process. The hope is in the Lord. Our confidence is in what He can and will and has been faithful to do. All of those things that will happen with and for you are good things through which God works, but they are not the end. They are not the place of our confidence. That we place in the Lord Himself. So God's direction here to Joshua is very clear. It comes with assurances that we'll touch on more next week. And it all underscores this very simple principle that God creates, He navigates, and He sustains transitions for His good plans and purposes. So let's trust Him together for this journey. I'm seeking to do it for mine. You get to do it for yours. Whether it's the church transition, others of you have other big transitions going on in your lives. Totally separate, yet the principles apply equally. That we let God do His thing. And we look forward expectantly. So Father, help us in that. We know our limits. We know our shortcomings. We know how comfort compels us and how we resist the things that stretch us. But we also know they bring us to growth. They bring us to new insight and understanding, to greater resolve, to greater strength, to new experiences of your grace and of your power, of your kindness and your mercy. You remind us that every morning when we get up, your mercies are new and your faithfulness is great. To these things, Father, we cling. To these things, we lay out our lives because we know that you are bigger, you are sovereign, you are working. You have things that we cannot yet think or imagine that you are about. And we want to embrace them and enjoy them to the best of our ability. So please help us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Farewell to those of you out in cyberspace.